We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
6 a.m. Atlanta. Time to get your day started with John and Hugh.
Hugh Douglas.
Good googly moogly.
A three-time Pro Bowler. And John Fricke.
You got serious butthurt.
A man who's watched the Pro Bowl at least three times.
Boom shakalaka.
John, a man who covered the Atlanta Chiefs' inaugural season.
And Hugh, who just keeps it real.
I feel like I got pants on.
Let's get your day started, Atlanta. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wanthan rolls it down the middle to Stanko. Cincinnati moving from left to right here in the second half. Punch down the middle where it's intercepted by Alan Franco. Rolls it ahead now to Barco. Drives down the center of the park. Ahead to Joseph at the top of the 18. Joseph in the box. Shot! Score! It's the 98th career goal for Joseph Martinez across all competitions for Atlanta United, and they're putting it away here in the 55th minute, 3-0.
And it became 4-0, and Atlanta United routs FC Cincinnati, and suddenly we're waking up this morning going, is Atlanta United a problem? Yeah, they may be. Welcome to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90.10 The Game. Hugh Douglas, what is up?
Grand Rising, John Fricke, Grand Rising Atlanta. And that might be the case. I mean, you know, they played, to me, they played like a team that knew that the playoffs were on the line and they really wanted to be a part of it. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, it's so interesting because, you know, we've gone through so many coaches since Tata Martino left. You know, you've got, you know, you went through the whole Frank DeBoer thing and then Stephen Glass and then the Gabriel Heinze thing, and Rob Valentino did such a phenomenal job getting this team just settled down. And here comes Gonzalo Pineda, and it seems, Hugh, now it's just early, it seems that Pineda has the team's attention. They're healthy, they're at full strength, he's letting them play. This is the best they've looked in a long, maybe since the championship year, in a long time.
They look good, and they got it done. You know, you always wonder how a team is going to come out and respond when you have so much on the line for them at this point of the season. And, you know, we were talking about yesterday how they were just on the cusp of being over the playoff line. So now they're there. And the way that they played last night, I think that's one of those matches where, John, they looked like they were trying to send a message.
Right. And in a way they did. If I got the stat correct, and we'll talk with Jason Longshore a little bit later in the program here, this is the first time, because they beat Orlando City the other night 3-0. Now they've beaten Cincinnati 4-0. The first time, only second time in the history of the franchise. Of course, histories are, you know, fairly short. But the first time since the first year of the franchise where they had back-to-back games that they won by at least 3 goals. Hugh, this is a, you know, kind of dominant. They've won 6 of their last 7. And while the focus has been getting above that line and getting into the playoffs, which they are at the moment, I don't know that they, I mean, you watch this team play right now, they're playing like a team that everybody in Major League Soccer is looking over their shoulder going, oh gosh, these guys are going to be, this. They could win the cup. I mean, they're playing that well, Hugh. Or am I way over my skis?
I'll let you ride, John, because that's what you do. I mean, you know, you oversell. Like, you've been on a roll as far as overselling everything. You got Georgia defense the best in ever and everything else. So I just kind of let you go when you do that. They're playing well. They're healthy. I give you that. They're healthy right now.
Yep, full strength.
And they're playing well. They're playing extremely well. And like I said, last night, they're like they were trying to send a message. And the message was, you know, we're serious about this playoff run that we're trying to be on. We're in it now. We're in it. We're right above the line. And you know, we're trying to gain some momentum. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, well, they've gained a lot of momentum. As we said, 6 wins in the last 7 games, back-to-back clean sheets, 3-0 and 4-0. And so, yeah, it's tough going forward. I get it, but they're healthy. This out of Ujo, he's you know, he certainly looks like he's a player. Boy, he had a hell of a goal last night. You know, you got Moreno, you got Barco, you got Joseph is healthy. He's happy. Remember all the talking.
Yeah, Barco had a rough one last night though, because he was on the pitch on his back a lot. You know, he got roughed up a little bit.
Yeah, and then you're right. He did. He was getting banged up, and then yet he gets the first set piece goal. You know, direct kick goal that the team has had since Kevin Kratz back, you know, like 4 years ago. So, you know, look, Atlanta United is a team that suddenly has started to kind of feel itself out. It's taken half a season, but I think the biggest thing to me here watching them play is that Joseph, remember they were talking, Joseph was saying, there was all the rumors, and even Mike Conley was saying, you know, hey, Joseph could retire. I really believe that it was less about the fact that he was banged up and more about the fact that he was just unhappy.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what it was. You talk about, you know, they weren't allowed to get water and things of that nature, and just the coaching style that they had to deal with, which they never had to deal with before. That's a lot. That's a lot of stress. And then on top of that, you're not playing in a style that is conducive to what you're used to and what has given you success. All of that factors in, and the fact that you're coming off an injury too. You know, that as well. It was like a lot going on, and I'm pretty sure that, you know, for him not playing well early on and the fact that, you know, you got a crazy coach that don't want you to get water, that's a lot to deal with. That's a lot to kind of process. So, yeah, I could imagine him feeling some kind of way about playing soccer.
You know, last night was like this perfect microcosm. Ever since when I was about 8 years old, Hugh, I remember watching a game, a baseball game, and then getting mad because my team lost, you know. And so I've never really been a good loser. Like when I played sports, I don't know, some people are good losers, you know. They just shake it off and move on. I kind of sulk a little bit. I don't like to lose. And so last night was like this perfect, you know, I thought, you know, here I am at my age, and I still have this real love-hate with being a hardcore fan, because last night was like perfect, because Atlanta United's rolling, and I'm starting to think, geez, you know, with this attack now, and the fact that just everything you just said, which I totally agree with you, because I think you're absolutely right, this team is happy, they're healthy, they're full strength, they're moving freely, they look like the championship team, they do. And so it's got me thinking, man, are they going to – could they actually win the – make this run to the MLS Cup? Look, they're going to be a serious factor, because I'm not even thinking about them making the playoffs anymore. They're going to make the playoffs. The question to me is how much of a factor are they going to be to winning it all? And at the same time, I'm watching the Braves, and I'm going, oh, my God. You know, are they going to blow this thing? And, you know, and then I get my Braves – I'm all pumped up about Atlanta United, and I turn over to the Braves and watch the Braves, and I just – ugh. I had to go to bed.
That was a rough one last night, though. Colorado played well, and the rain was a huge factor, especially when you talk about, you know, pitching. You know, pitchers was – who was it, a Bard or a guard, whatever the pitcher was for Colorado? He was all over the place for a while, you know, later in that game. So, yeah, pitching became a huge factor in that game later on in the night. But it, you know what's funny to me? It rained for like 3 straight hours, and I guess they were just like, hey, we're going to get this game in. Damn, this rain. We about to get this game in.
Yeah, and then they put that dry stuff down right around home plate, and then they had to kind of circle it around, and so there was no batter's box, and it looked like – I was like, well, this kind of looks like a pickup softball game, you know, at the park late at night. Like, there's no batter's box. We're just going to make this up as we go along here. So, yeah, the Braves have to play this afternoon, weather permitting, at 12:10. They lost in extra innings again last night. I had Abe look up the record. Braves are 4-8 in extra innings. Yay. That goes to this whole bullpen thing. Hugh, in the last – the Braves are 8-12 in the last 20 games. It's not exactly finishing strong. You know, all the numbers just kind of look bad.
Yeah, but didn't the Phillies lose last night?
No, the Phillies won.
They came back and won because they were losing, correct? Yeah, they were losing. No, so, yeah, that doesn't help. But it still plays into what I feel like is going to be, you know, the matchup that we're going to be looking at towards the end of the season. I mean, I understand what you're saying. This was a prime opportunity for you to gain some ground and try to separate yourself. But I just feel like, John, this is how it's going to play out. It's going to play out us against the Phillies towards the end of the year, and it's going to be for winner. It's going to be winner takes all.
Yep. No, you said that again. We mentioned it yesterday. You said it day one. I can't argue with you, Hugh. I mean, you're right. I mean, because it's exactly what's going to happen here. Let's just hope that it is. Let's hope you don't go on the road and really – okay. So I'm in my feelings about all this stuff. Okay, I get it. A game that I don't care about tonight is well, at least from a fan's perspective, I'll watch a little bit. And you can listen to it on 92 on the game beginning at 8 tonight as the NFL week number 2 starts. Hugh, how excited are you, because you're an NFC East guy, to watch the New York Giants and Washington football team?
Well, you know, it's funny. Taylor Haneke – did I say his first name right? I know I got his last name.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor is going to be the starting quarterback. It is funny because I've been seeing, like, just you know, looking at some of the videos and stuff, Chase Young is his biggest fan right now. And Chase Young is doing everything in his power to give Taylor Haneke the confidence that he feels that he's going to need to go out here and win this football game. I just thought, you know what? I just like, oh, that's so cute. Defensive lineman trying to, you know, pump his quarterback up and say, hey, man, he can play. What did he say? He can play anywhere. He can play for anybody. That's what I'm talking about. That's the type of friends that I need. Lie to me to my face. Tell me I'm better than what I really am. I'm okay with that.
So, yeah, I think Haneke, you know, as backup quarterbacks go, I think he's pretty darn good. I mean,
no, I mean, I'm not saying he can't play, right. But you know, I mean, you know, you've been in the league as long as he's been, and you're still a backup. You're a backup for a reason.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, he's a backup quarterback. Yeah, no, he's not.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like hold the fort until we can get somebody in here. Like, I think tonight is going to tell us a lot about what direction potentially the Washington football team is going to go. As far as quarterbacks is concerned.
Yeah, right, exactly. Because, you know, if Haneke can't, because, you know, Fitzmagic out, so if Haneke's not going to be the guy, they're going to have to go make a move for a quarterback, and it will be intriguing to see what kind of move they make, because we all keep talking about, you know, what does Cam fit into all this picture and the whole, you know, he doesn't get vaccinated and this and that. But they are playing the team with the worst starting quarterback in the NFL. And, you know, and Daniel Jones' Hugh is the worst starting quarterback in the NFL. And so I, you know, I don't know.
I want to, but them laps that they ran might be.
That's true.
It might have got them right. Them laps, you know. Hey, listen, don't nothing get your mind right like some laps.
I'm surprised there hasn't been a revolt on that team, Hugh.
It's coming. Yeah, one of the coaches swung on him, so it's coming. Don't worry about it, John. You know, you want some drama, don't worry about it. It's coming.
It's coming for the
Just give it some
Giants.
Time. Just give it some time. You know, it's still a little early in the game, you know, and you know, everybody's still trying to figure out, you know, what he is, your coach Judge is. So they just give it a little bit of time.
Yeah, I know that you said Chase, because you're right. Chase Young's out there trying to pump up Taylor Haneke, but I got to tell you, I think this is all about Chase Young. Chase Young and – you know, that defensive line, they just get after Daniel Jones. They're going to win this game tonight, I would think. Washington's at home. You know, it doesn't really much matter who plays quarterback for Washington. You know, how do the Giants score in this game? Not often. Let's put it that way.
They're probably still tired for them laps they ran. Ooh, I'm so tired.
I didn't mind running laps. What I minded was running stairs.
I didn't mind running laps after a damn game. Why not?
Well, after a game, that's a different story. You're right.
Yeah.
What? Stairs,
you want
though.
Me to
stairs
do what?
Killed me, Hugh. Stairs killed me.
In my nice little outfit, I got this. I'm going. I got dinner plans. Yeah, not tonight.
25 stairs up, and you're like, okay, I'm done. Stairs and me don't get along. Morning Mash coming up around the corner. We got a lot to talk about. We got to talk about the Braves. Got to talk about United. We got a loaded show with college football. pardon me, burning questions. Jason Longshore, Roddy Jones. For the ACC, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a Thursday with John and Hugh, and again, that football game is tonight. Giants of Washington, our coverage starts at 8 on Sports Radio 92. The game morning match around the corner.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 6:20 Atlanta. Time for the morning mashup.
A recap of the biggest stories of the morning with John and Hugh.
Crazy. Get up. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Time for the morning mash. Oren Romain back at the mothership, the Kia Studios. Oren, what is up?
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning, Grand Rising.
How we doing, guys?
Awesome.
Good, man.
All right. Cool. Doing well is awesome. Doing well is awesome, and I am
and
also
as best
well.
I can tell, you didn't have to deal with a car last night. That's a good thing.
No, car works.
Hey.
Car works. Rode around on my two fancy tires that I got.
Two fancy tires. Look at you with the fancy
and
tires.
My two older tires on my car. So half my car is rolling well. The other half just rolling familiarly.
Just rolling, man.
Yeah.
It's rolling.
It's rolling. Gonna start the mash up off with sort of a collection, if you will, here, guys. The USC job, the rumors are getting hot. They're getting hot, blowing up. Everybody and somebody has been linked to it. Yesterday, it was a report from Dan Patrick that said there is mutual interest between James Franklin and USC in the coaching job.
Hold up. Wait a minute. You mean after he said that he wasn't,
well, yeah,
that
ain't –
you know, elephant
words,
in the room.
I mean,
yeah.
He was preparing for the Auburn game, but you know, his agent ain't a coach. So.
Yeah, you're right.
Agent can go do some work on the side for you if you need that.
Yeah, hey, listen, go ahead and be my eyes and ears in this thing.
Yeah, go ahead and give me, you know, just hey, put some inquiries out.
Yeah, see what's up.
Like the Godfather. I want all inquiries made. Inquiries made there. Three clips I'm gonna try to play for you guys here. Let's start with the one down there in Jacksonville, Coach Urban Meyer. Coach Urban.
Not Coach Urban Meyer.
Coach was asked about the USC opening job, and this is what Coach Urban Meyer had to say about that.
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it.
There's no chance that I'm here and committed to try to build an organization.
That's a lie, but go ahead, Urban. Talk.
I got to look up the translator here. No chance. Yes, I'm interested. No chance means in English it means yes, I'm interested.
No, I thought it was kind of interesting because, like, I don't know if y'all were paying attention, but if it sounded like he kind of curtailed off a little bit towards the end of that, and you know, I'm a big proponent of I like eye contact. You know, even though it's an interview. And, you know, you're not really talking to one person per se. But if you look at that interview, man, it's like when he was asked that question, he kind of went off, you know, and kind of, you know, had the shifty eye look. And I don't know if that's a telltale for him or whatever, but I would probably go back and look at some of the other interviews that he's done. Because he looked like he was kind of shady when he answered that question.
He was looking towards Los Angeles.
Yeah, he was trying to figure out how far it was and how much money he's going to actually need to live comfortable.
Right, exactly. I think, Hugh, your analysis when you talk about
spotting
a liar.
No, I mean, John, this was all you.
But Urban Meyer, you know he's lying when he opens his mouth.
He's awake.
Yeah.
No, I just thought it was kind of funny because he did kind of have that look like, you know, when he was asked, like he kind of just looked off into the distance a little bit, which I thought was kind of weird because,
it's Urban. I'm not sure he lasts the year. I'm dead serious, guys. I think Urban Meyer might Bobby Petrino the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You know what's funny, John? I mean, by you saying that, like I've heard there has been written that, you know, he blows up over the littlest things, and he wants, like, when things don't go right, he wants to take over. That's what I was reading about down there in Jacksonville. So you might be on to something. It might be too much for him, or he might not be used to the type of protocol that the NFL brings. So,
I wonder,
it might be a problem.
When Bobby Petrino was at, what was that, Louisville, they had stuff written in his contract where, because he was rumored for every offseason job, Miami, wherever was open. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Petrino's name was in the mix. So they said, like, all right, here's the deal, Bobby. We're going to put in your contract. It's going to be a buyout. And for the next 5 years, it will get lower every year. But his buyout started out at like $18-20 million. So I wonder if Urban has something written in his contract where it's, hey, if you leave after this year, I mean, you're more than welcome to, but we're going to hit you hard in the pocket if you decide to do that.
I don't know.
If Jacksonville was smart, knowing who Urban is, knowing what exists out there in the college football landscape, I would 100% put in this contract.
You're right. Whether it exists or not.
It's probably too late now. Not Orrin. Anyway, like if he leave, he gone. And plus from the stories is that, you know, he might not he's not used to the way the NFL does things. So he might be thinking like grass might be green on the other side and he might be trying to figure out a way to get out.
Yeah, here's my thing about that. I mean, if Urban Meyer wants to go to USC, the University of Spoiled Children out there, that alumni base, which has got some serious scratch,
That's Hollywood money.
Yeah, they got bread.
Orange County money, right?
That's tech guru. That's CEO money.
That's a hot job, too, baby.
You know. They'll come up with that. They'll sort of GoFundMe. You know what I mean?
John. They're old school. They'll pass the hat around.
We need to take up a collection to get Urban Meyer.
We need to fix the
Urban Meyer collection.
How much you want to kick in here?
Fix the building fund here, guys.
Put me down for $200,000, $2 million. I mean, they'll do whatever it takes to get Urban Meyer there.
We need Urban Meyer's here at the illustrious USC. I don't know if they talk like that.
Back to James Franklin. Do you have a soundbite about James Franklin, or could I go back to that for a second?
I don't have James. It was just Dan Patrick talking about
Okay, well, you know, James Franklin's announced for every job, James Franklin's name comes up, it seems. And, look, he's a great coach, and he's done a great job at Penn State. I'm sort of surprised he hasn't gone to the NFL, that there have been more NFL teams interested in him. Maybe he just wants to be a college coach,
I think the same thing with David Shaw. Like, David Shaw could have picked any job he
went to
the NFL.
Right, he could have picked any job.
Ago.
He may just want to be a college coach, which I get, by the way. I think Urban really wants to be a college coach.
Same thing with Saban. If Saban wanted to go back to the NFL, there would be some team that would welcome him and give him whatever he wants.
Yeah, of course.
Happy in college. He and Terry both.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Continuing on here. Let's go to Bob Stoops. Bob Stoops was asked about this yesterday, appearing on Sirius XM. Hey, what's your interest in this USC job?
Well, I can't control rumors. I don't get involved in rumors. I've never acknowledged one way or the other where someone has contacted me or not, and I won't in this case either. I'm enjoying my opportunity to work with Fox. I love watching my sons. One's playing and one's on the sideline coaching. But, you know, in life you just never know whatever fits you just perfectly. And I'm not saying this does. Listen, they're going to go through a list of coaches that are already on the field that probably can't even talk to them until the season's over. So, you know, I didn't ask for my name to be attached to this, but I can't help it that it is.
That's the way of saying, like, hey, y'all can't talk to anybody else, but you can talk to me right now. If that money right, you won't have to talk to anybody else.
If the money right, I'm taking it.
Where the money reside,
Hey, ain't that the truth? If the money right, I'll be right there with you.
I'm not saying Bob Stoops can't coach. He can. It's been a minute now, but he can still coach.
It's been a while.
I got to say, I think Bob Stoops is a fallback. He is not
top three. It's a hell of a fallback, though, John.
Oh, it's a hell of a fallback, but he's not top three, I don't think. Not on their list. I wouldn't think. I think Urban's got to be number one with a bullet.
The last one I have is, I think, sort of the dark horse candidate for this job.
Who you
guy
got
up
for
in
the
Oregon,
dark horse?
Mario Cristobal, knows the West Coast, big-time recruiter.
Yeah.
He was asked by Doug Gottlieb about the USC job, and Mario, true to form, was like, hey, I'm at where I'm at right now, and I'm good.
I'm not going to bury the lead. I'm not going to soft sell it. I'm just going to ask you, there's a job in your conference which came open. When people mention your name for said job, what would your response be?
My response is go Ducks.
Any chance that you at least have a conversation about it?
I'm saying, telling you again, go Ducks. I'm not sure why you brought me on this interview. I was talking about the Oregon Ducks and whatnot. since we go this route, I'll reinforce it again. Go Ducks. So here I am, buddy.
Nobody likes Doug Gottlieb. I wonder why.
He's a weasel, but that's another story altogether.
I haven't really had to work in the same space as him. But, yeah, nobody likes Doug Gottlieb. Nobody.
All right, one more cut on this.
No, so we're going to move past this. Those are all the coaches. I just found this kind of funny. We all know Mr. Fitzpatrick up there in D.C. has an injured hip, and he's on the IR right now.
The Washington football team.
Washington football team. A caller called into 106.7, the fan yesterday, and let the listeners, let the host know that this wasn't the first time he hurt his hip.
What's up, man? You're on with B. Mitchell Finley.
I'm pretty sure Ryan Fitzpatrick re-injured his hip during the game against the Chargers. Where you guys saw round two, we saw round one at Symington Water Park in Leesburg at Ida Lee on the last day. Just three times a week, he'd bring all of his 7 million boys up there. They'd go on the slow slide. He always go on the fast slide. And then about mid-afternoon, it looked like he whacked his hip on the right on the fast slide, and then he didn't do no slide the rest of the day. Everybody at the park saw he was going around either like a awkward gait or a shuffle walk the rest of the afternoon, and he parked it in his chair. I think he re-aggravated it during that game.
The streets is watching.
Streets is watching. Streets is talking, honey.
Hey, the streets
is talking. Can't even go to water parks now without folks being like, hey, I saw you. I saw you on the slide, bro.
Yeah, hey. No, they didn't even say that. They basically just watched him. And when he got off the slide, they followed him to see what's going on. Hey, why are you walking?
Why are you walking funny? You and your 7 million kids.
I heard this story. I only have one question. Where's the cell phone video?
It's a water park.
Maybe couldn't pull it out, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes people don't want to pull phones out when there's water around.
Yeah, man, because them phones are what they call expensive. You mess up one of them expensive phones, and you get water damage. The bad part about it, if you ain't got insurance, you get water damage on your phone, then guess what you're doing? Buying a brand new phone.
New phone. Get that iPhone 13.
Yeah. They say it's on sale, though, for like, what, $760-something?
It will never be on sale, Hugh Douglas, until the iPhone 14 comes out. That's one thing that never goes on sale until the new model comes out. Apple.
Yeah, they ain't fooling with them iPhones.
If you know somebody, they got one in the truck, holler at me.
A lot to get to. Rapid fire, top of the hour. A lot of good questions about rapid fire. We'll get more into this USC thing because it involves a number of college coaches. That'll be another theme throughout the day. So we got a lot to get into, including how much who do we trust and how much do we trust the Braves now? Next with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's hit. Wilker scores to give the Rockies a 3-2 lead. And Raimel Tapia on the first pitch delivers.
Even before extra innings, I mean, we had guys on. We just couldn't get a hit. I mean, we had a lot of opportunities and just couldn't get a big hit.
Braves have struggled over the last 20 games, and in their last 14 games, I'll just go slow here. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. I'll give you the stats and we can talk about it. In their last 14 games, Hugh, the Braves have played 9 one-run games. 9. They've lost 7 of those 9. Including last night, where they lost again to the Colorado Rockies, suddenly 4-4 in this homestand. So they're losing lots of one-run games. They're really kind of scuffling. They're not getting clutch hits when they need to. I mean, Sticker could talk about, we had runners all over the place. Okay, yeah, but you didn't get any clutch hits. You only had one extra base hit. That was the Rosario home run. And we know now A.J. Minter came in. Will Smith did his job last night, and then A.J. Minter comes in the 10th inning, and this silly, ridiculous put-a-man-on-second thing promptly gives up a hit, and the Braves bullpen gives up another run. Braves bullpen has won so many games this year. Hugh, at some point, don't you have to kind of, lean on something if you're going to win a division? Say somebody, we can count on somebody or something. It just doesn't seem like the Braves have that someone or something right now they can lean on.
I think that, to your point, John, right now, I mean, it's going to be by committee because it kind of been like that all season long. You know, when you put it like that, it's going to be a collective. And it's kind of been like that all season long. It's just been unfortunate that this is the position that you're in right now. I mean, Colorado is looking to play spoiler. Everybody's probably going to be looking to play spoiler until the Phillies are going to be looking to play spoiler as well. That's the position that you're in. Everybody's going to be trying to chip away at what you're trying to accomplish right now. I mean, they get paid too.
Yeah, who do you have faith in on this team? I mean, do you have faith? Among the starting pitchers, you have faith in Charlie Morton? I do. Max Fried, do you have faith in anybody else besides those two?
That's about it. I mean, I think Will Smith's a pretty good guy. I know he's had some really tough outings, John, but I like Will Smith. And who was it last night? Number 77 gave you a pretty good outing last night. For him, he gave you a pretty good outing last night.
Yeah, Luke Jackson's probably been as good as anybody in the bullpen this year. There is truth in that. He's been the steadiest guy out there. You know, when it comes to the order, I mean, we have faith in Freddie, right? I mean, because he's proven it and he's earned it and all that kind of stuff, right? But the rest of them, we ask a lot of Ozzy. I know that. But Dansby, you know, I mean, at times, Hugh, he's hot. Times, he's cold. Riley's been kind of, you know, I mean, he's had a great year. But, you know, when we get to clutch, he did hit all right, I will give this to Austin Riley. Against the Dodgers, he hit a massive home run. Against the really important home run. Of course, he didn't win the series, but he did hit an important home run. I just wonder who we, you know, really count on when the chips are down here.
You know what, though? I'll say this about this squad so far, John. The way that it's built, you know, it changes from week to week. It changed from night to night, if you will. Who is going to be the guy that's going to be the contributor for you? Soler has been a contributor so far since he's been here, and he's been clutch. He was real clutch for you last night. Almost, you know, the position he put you in was you know, he really helped out tremendously last night. So I'm looking at it more like this, John. It's not about just one individual holding down the whole team. It's a collective, like it's always been for the Braves.
Yeah, and this team really, you know, they live and die with a home run. I have to go back and check the stats. They're either first or second in the National League in home runs. They're right there with the Giants, and you see the Giants' record. They have the best record in baseball. They're going to win 100 games. They obviously hit a lot of home runs. Last night was not conducive to being a home run kind of night. But when they're not hitting home runs, they got 10 hits last night. I mean, again, 9 of them were singles. And you could talk about the rain and all that, but this team does not do a great job of, you know, station-to-station baseball, and small ball kind of eludes them at times. So when they do play it, we all go, they played small ball. So, you know, I think Freddie's got to be, you know, the leader on the offense. I think Charlie Morton's got to lead on the defense, and I'll go with you that Will Smith has got to. If the Braves are going to do anything, Will Smith, you're absolutely right. Will Smith has got to step up, and he did his job last night, and he's got to be that ace closer. And so those three guys, I think, are probably the most critical guys. And anybody else that kind of, you know, adds to it is you know, kind of golden here. But they got to win today. I mean, gosh, they lose a lot of one-run games. And that's a little concerning.
It's funny,
right,
but I look at it like this, John. It's going to be tight down the stretch. I mean, there's no question about that. It's definitely going to be tight. You're talking about what's at stake and everything. It's even tight for the Phillies. They had to come back and win last night, because mm-hmm. when we were talking about it and we were going back and forth, they were losing. So it's going to be tough. So this is how it's going to be, I think, down the stretch.
Yeah, I know. And it's going to be a lot of late nights with West Coast games, and I'm going to get tidy butt. You know, because if they blow, Hugh, I don't want to be negative Nancy or Debbie Downer, but I'm just looking at that going, oh, God, don't blow this. You have it right there. Just, you know.
But you know, it's been tough sledding for them all year long. No question about that. And they've been pretty resilient. And I feel like they're going to remain the same way. They're going to remain resilient down the stretch.
You know, and I want to go to that card of, we don't have Soroka, we don't have Ronald Acuna, we don't have Acuna, and yet,
that's,
you know,
one of the main reason why I think they're going to remain resilient, and I think it's going to be okay. It's just it's going to be tough sledding, John, because when teams know that, you know, you're going to always get a team's best shot, especially when they know you're trying to, you know, you're fighting for something. I mean, because they love to play spoiler.
I don't know what it is about this Rockies team that suddenly has decided
they want to play.
Yeah, right.
Because they got nothing to play for, and so now you're in a position where, I ain't got nothing to play for, but if I'm going home, I want to send you home with me. I've been in that position a lot back in the day, you know, especially playing with the New York Jets. It's like, you know what? I'm bad. We're going home. The least I could do is send you home with me, because I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah,
kind of like that.
Yeah, this is why it doesn't, you know, bode well going to the West Coast, because if for whatever reason, I mean, the Braves own the Central Division. They've obviously played really well against the East. This West, I mean, you think about what happened early in the year with Arizona. Then you got the Dodgers, the Giants, the Padres, Colorado. They just haven't fared well against the West. And frankly, you know, if they're going to do anything in the postseason, they're going to have to go through one of those two Western powers, either the Dodgers or the Giants, and maybe the Padres. Who knows? But the first things first, they got to find a way to – it's like one hot streak, Hugh. If they can get on one little hot streak where they win 4 out of 5, which is – not just. If they can win 4 out of 5, they might be able to put this away.
You know what? I'm kind of on the mindset of Joe Patrick yesterday. Just win a series. You know what I mean? Just win your series down the stretch, and that'd be great. Just win the series down the stretch. Win your series down the stretch.
And we're sitting here with the game at home this afternoon, weather permitting. I'm saying don't get swept by the Colorado Rockies. You know? Oh my God!
Yeah, tough one to watch last night, though. Definitely tough one to watch.
You know, I came into this homestand with Washington, Miami, and Colorado, and I was going 6-3, and I was thinking, yeah, maybe 7-2. Well, they're 4-4. And if they don't win today, they're going to end up 4-5, and this is going to be like, ay, 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 that's how you're going to go to the West Coast? All right, you know, now it's all on this West Coast trip. It'll be interesting to see, you know, I thought, how big a lead are you going to have with this Philly series looming, you know, in 2 weeks?
Looming
you know,
large.
Right, huge. This, you know, last six games of the year, home against the Phillies and then the Mets. At the moment, the Mets, forget about the Mets. Because the Mets, as much as the Braves are scuffling, the Mets are just kind of like, they're out. So it's just the Braves and the Phillies. This Phillies series, how big is the Braves League going to be? Can you put yourself in a position where you come into the Phillies, you know, you're up five games with six to go, and we're gonna ace this thing out and close them out in this series. Now I'm wondering, is this thing going to be like up, you know, coin flip? And it may be coin flip,
yeah. I'm thinking coin flip. I think just the way that the season has gone, I think it's going to be coin flip. I definitely think it's going to be coin flip. Get out your feelings, man.
I don't know if I love or hate being a fan here.
No, I know. I mean, because I can tell. I mean, you. The drama that you're feeling right now, sometimes I feel like a therapist.
And the worst part is with baseball, is that it's, you know, football is a miniseries, baseball is a soap opera. It's every day. Nothing happens and everything changes when you're in the soap opera. Why do you watch that stupid General Hospital or All My Children? Nothing ever happens. No, everything happens. No, nothing ever happens. You know, everything. I'll tell you what's going to happen next. Rapid fire. A lot of questions for Oren, Abe, and Hugh, and you can answer them in your car. Drive safe out there on the slick roads. If you're out there doing God's work and delivering the goods that keep us moving right now, thank you for that. And we'll let you answer the questions in your own head because here we come. A little rapid fire around the corner with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.